Welcome back to the Technical Area, the Football Manager podcast, brought to you by me, your host, Gaffer Graham, once again. Apologies for the slight delay in getting this one out. Obviously, look, we're starting to get to the time of year now where, with the return of the European seasons, those winter leagues, minds are already starting to tick forward for many. I know in the FM, towards FM24, and obviously given the announcements made during the summer by Sports Interactive, we're kind of starting even to think about more FM25, even, and seeing what will become of FM24. Is it just a goodbye to the what we know of FM, and then we're going to see a change? I don't know. But obviously, with all of these changes happening, it's also led to me to start thinking the needs of, with season four of the podcast coming up, because I try and tie the seasons of the podcast in with the Football Manager editions, that if we going forward, what changes can I make? Obviously, committing to a regular schedule, trying to get these back out on a Thursday is obviously ideal. That's what I want to do. Hopefully the goal this week would be to get two out, this one from last week and then the Thursday one as normal. So, I've been working on a few changes, a few ideas, trying to do a little bit of research, put a few bits and pieces together and see what is the next step for the podcast going into FM24, what changes need to be made, what changes can be made, what direction would I like to go in. And of course, look, if you've any suggestions yourself, the contact details from me and the podcast on Twitter, on email, even on Slack, if you want to send me something, whatever it is that works best for you. If you have any ideas, feel free to send them in. There's our video elements you'd rather see brought in. Different style of podcast, instead of me kind of just reading off essays and plans and ideas and thoughts. What is it that we do make the next step? So with all of those changes in mind and talking about reinventing ourselves, we're looking at as well on the pitch, there's a lot of reinvention happening. And for many, they see it as the perfect time to play FM, just through an experimentation reasons, with new players, new tactics. This last run in, these last few months of Football Manager, now these last 3-4 months, whatever it is going to be, people are starting to get a little bit excited, So I kind of thought, let's bring reinvention in. If we reinvent the podcast, if we reinvent our Football Manager, playing, if they're talking about reinventing Football Manager itself, what way are we going to go? I spent an awful long time trying to come up with a title for this one. The working title I started off with was Reinvention. Was it remaking? Was it resurrection? Because I was reading an article from LiveScore, which I've linked down below, about Rafa Benitez at Celta Vigo. Like, is he going back to resurrect his career? Or are we talking about, refreshing ourselves? At the minute, the title of the very top now is The Next Tactical Change. It's kind of one of those topics, I suppose, something that we always think of, making changes. And I suppose we're going to get into making changes, but is it making changes for the sake of it, or is it making changes because we need to change? Football is a very, very, fluid game. It doesn't stand still. We need to change with the times. And it's not always that we see that this change is for the good. Is new always better? It's not even on the tactical side of things we've seen football change over the last number of years. Obviously, we've seen technology come in and be a bit more of a part of VAR. Financial rules constantly changing. You think of, I know a lot of people are kind of finding quite funny to throw Jurgen Klopp's words back in his face, but when a few years ago when Paul Pogba went for 100 million, Klopp said, if that's what football becomes and I'm out of a job, Liverpool then bid £110 million, £111 million, whatever it was, for Moises Caicedo. Klopp gets his words thrown back at him. But as Klopp said, you need to change times. This is the reality of where we are right now. you know, football is suddenly just become at the top level so complex, so fluid, and you know, teams are constantly needing to rethink and reevaluate where they are. You know, are new strengths appearing, are new weaknesses appearing, is there things we need to address, is there things we can build upon? There's so much complexity going on, there's so much that, you know, change that is constantly going on, that sometimes we can't see it week to week. It's often over the course of, you see, up to Christmas, from or you know, to that mid-season point, or from the mid-season to the end, or even if a change takes place over two or three seasons, it can be slower and gradual rather than these rapid changes week on week. You know, teams are constantly needing to find new ways to mix the patterns of play up again and become unpredictable again. Was it the Athletic I was reading yesterday where they're speaking about Manchester City's 4-2-5 formation they'll be playing this season in possession? And yeah, like they said, that 4-2-5, that is 11. And the image that they used, the header image, was Ederson, Manchester City's goalkeeper, playing as the left-sided centre-back, given that one centre-back, you know, inverts or pushes for a full-back inverts, someone pushes forward, and the midfield then, you know, what was the 3-2-2-3 from last season, the 3-2-5, now become the 4-2-5 because Ederson has pushed up. So the patterns of play becoming unpredictable again. The football is constantly changing. And when we ourselves are playing Football Manager, we can often get to the point of where we need to start a point of beginning the change. We might find ourselves beginning to think of, you know, what is our next step? Where does it come from? Sometimes, you know, the first thing we have to do really is, you know, when we are changing things up, you pick that first building point. You have to pick that first area of change. And sometimes that trigger point can be a player, an individual. In my current save, I've taken over Borussia Dortmund. Dortmund finished 7th in the Bundesliga last season. We're in the Conference League, and because of the poor performances, Jude Bellingham is fortunately still at the club. I don't know how, but he still is. Now, I've got Jude Bellingham. I know, and I expect Bellingham to leave at some point. But when I took over Dortmund, I wanted to go back to my, you know, I knew what my identity was in this version of Football Manager. And it started off back at Arundel. It was a back three featuring a ball-playing defender, a wide centre-back, and a libero. There was two wing-backs, a standard wing-back on the wide centre-backs, on the ball-playing centre-back side, and a complete wing-back on the wide centre-back side, with a DM in front of the wide centre-back. Asymmetrically then, I had a roaming playmaker playing as a midfielder centre, either on the right or the left, depending on what side the wide centre-back was on. So the roaming playmaker would be in front of, you know, in a vertical sense, the ball-playing defender. Then my front three could change. It could be two strikers with a player behind, or it could be two tens behind the nine. That's the way I've played the whole year. With Jude Bellingham, I spend a lot of time trying to figure out where to play him. Bellingham is a bit like Steven Gerrard in the early football and Championship Manager days, where his statistics for a centre midfielder are outstanding, yet because with Gerrard you could plant him in the centre midfielder role back in Football Manager 2000, you know, Championship Manager 2001, 2002, and so on. You could just play him as a CM. In Football Manager 23, planting Bellingham in this as a CM, it's a little bit different because Football Manager, like football in real life now, has become less about positions and more about roles. My reports say Bellingham is best as a ball-winning midfielder, but giving Bellingham's ability to be strong as a dribbler, with good finishing, good long shots, being just a complete all-rounder, I didn't want Bellingham as a ball-winning midfielder because I didn't want to tie him down. And having Sally Ozchan and then bringing in Weston McKennie, I felt that they would be the DMs that would then allow Bellingham to play as the roaming playmaker. Bellingham was not fantastic as a roaming playmaker. I just couldn't get him ticking as well as I knew I needed to. I tried him as the attacking midfielder, but because Julian Brandt was playing so well as my attacking midfielder, the 10 behind it, my two strikers, taking Brandt out of the team wasn't working. So then I tried something. This was my change, my trigger point. I dropped my roaming playmaker back into in line with my defensive midfielder. So now I've got two defensive midfielders. One in front of the ball of the wide centre-back and one in front of the ball-playing defender. Bellingham was the one in front of the ball-playing defender. I changed Bellingham to a Segundo Volante attack. Bellingham is now, form-wise, at come Christmas, the best player in the Bundesliga. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back or anything like that, but it's a role I found in my system that I still get a player pushing forward in the way the roaming playmaker would, but it brings out the best in what Bellingham does. So I've made the change. My building point was making the changes to try and bring out the best of Bellingham. I knew my identity, but I needed to make a change. I needed to find a way to play my style of football the same way, yet be different. And this new role has sparked a new direction. What I've seen when I was at Arundel and initially at Dortmund was the two strikers and the 10 behind, they would be scoring 90% of the goals we'd score. The rest would come from set pieces, centre-backs particularly. Now with Bellingham playing in this attacking role, I've got four goal scorers from play on the pitch at any one time. So this has brought a new direction that we have a defensive solidity of a four when we're out of possession in the kind of that DM strata. Yet in an attacking sense, I get a complete wing back on one side. And then on the opposite side, I have a Segundo Volante in the channel pushing wide up. And it's really, you know, sparked a new level for us. Now, this change happened naturally and organically. And it's now led me to have a little bit of a rethink because I signed Gabri Veiga, anticipating Bellingham's departure. So now I've got to consider when Bellingham eventually does leave. I'm anticipating that move happening at the end of the season. Do I continue and train Veiga to be a Segundo Volante? Or do I move Veiga back up to the roaming playmaker and allow him to play there? So now I've got to start beginning to think long term about how the change continues. So I'm planning for a change over the course of a few transfer windows, a few seasons now ahead. And I'm beginning now to put the building blocks in place in the background. So with Veiga now, I've identified that he can spark a change in how we play. So I need to begin the process. And when that process is going to be retraining him. Evaluating the current situation, Veiga's not getting an awful lot of game time because Bellingham was playing so well. But when Veiga comes on or Veiga starts to give Bellingham a rest, you know, I need to evaluate his performances as a Segundo Volante where I'm currently training him to play or anticipating would he be better as a Mazzala, as a roaming playmaker, one strata further up. So I'm analysing and making judgments regularly. I'm constantly checking Veiga on a regular basis to see how his stats line up with each match. Is there a progression? Is there a regression? And I'm looking at the opposition we're playing in to see, is it their style that's making Veiga play better or play worse in these roles? And the same with Bellingham. Because once I can really put all these pieces together, I can create an evolutionary plan. I can begin in the squad planner section which I'm going to do a podcast about next week. But I'm beginning now to put a plan in place of where players are going to play long term, so I can build my squad around these stronger areas and where I can find where weaknesses are and begin to anticipate, right, I need to begin this, looking to sign a player who's going to play in X, Y, or Z position. Once I've got this plan in place, I need to put it into action. And like that, constantly checking it, constantly monitoring and evaluating the impact of the plan and the change we've made. Because once we've gotten to that point, we can really begin to see how my Dortmund team are going to keep pushing forward for as long as Football Manager 23 will exist. Now, the thing with change as well, though, is, well, like, it's all good in theory to have this down. The patterns of change are not always in a straight line. Plan will not always necessarily go, you know, exactly in that linear approach you have written down on a piece of paper. Like I said, at Dortmund, I've needed to make this change. Previously, when I was managing Sampdoria, I wanted to play that same style, the Roman playmaker, the DM, the three across backs and one. However, in Serie B, most teams we played against had a 5-2-2-1 narrow style. Three centre-backs, two wing-backs, two centre midfielders, two tens and a striker. And playing against teams that played in this shape, we struggled. We struggled numerically and we just struggled to progress the ball. A lot of matches were coming out stalemates or we were getting beat by the odd goal. In seeing where we were being numerically outnumbered, I then decided I'd play in a different shape, a 4-2-3-1. Now, the thing is, when I changed shape to counteract what the opponents were playing to give us a better chance of winning. And our results did pick up, mostly. But the thing was, I didn't build my change around anyone. I built my change on paper on my squad. Wasn't overly effective in that way. Whereas now with Dortmund, I've built my change around Bellingham. This new style has been built around getting the best out of our best player, Jude Bellingham. And if you look at many managers across their careers, you look at some of those iconic sides we've watched over the last 15, 20 years, and then if you want to go further back, I'm sure there's plenty more examples. Like, I suppose if you look at the evolution, the change, the reinvention, the remaking of Pep Guardiola from Barcelona to Bayern to City, we see three totally different sides. At Barcelona, a fluid side built around a pivot. Wing backs that would be so high they'd be in line with the front three at times. The playmakers operating in the channels. A false nine, where Messi just being Messi up there. You know, wide, inverting forwards. Think Samuel Eto'o and Thierry Henry on the wings. How effective they were. Pedro. You know, we look at those Barcelona teams. This was a team built on an aggressive press. A team built on controlling a game through possession. A team built around Sergio Busquets. Now look at Pep's Bayern. A team that was careful in their build of play. A team that defended zonally, that kept a compact structure, where suddenly we began seeing inverting fullbacks. A team that was obsessed with controlling space. A team that moved the ball away from their own goal as a unit and kept it higher up the pitch than anyone else. A team that could suppress a counterattack like a fire blanket. A team built on the concept of juego de posición. Team built around Philip Lahm. And now think of Pep at City and even how that style has changed. At times we see City in a, what was a 3-4-3 diamond. Something similar to what Pep played with when Cruyff was Barcelona manager. A shape created through inverted wingbacks like Zinchenko and Cancelo. A team that has now changed to being a team with a box midfield created with four centre-backs. A team built with John Stones stepping into midfield.
Here's what I found.
a team built on the evolution of the overlap to the underlap with an inverted pivot. A team built around Rodri and Stones. But there's one common thread through Barcelona, City, Bayern, that Pep is a change he goes back and forward on. That is the rise and fall of the number nine. At Barcelona, like you said, Messi was this false nine or a ten. Messi was just there. Think of when Ibrahimovic went in. Pep thought of a traditional nine. Think of Bayern. Pep brings in Lewandowski. Think of City. Pep brings in Haaland. And the thing is, Ibrahimovic did not succeed at Barcelona because of the structure and the philosophy of the club and the side at the time. At Bayern and City, the arrivals of Lewandowski and Haaland changed the makeup of the whole squad and the playing philosophy more than it was evident even at Barcelona. And with Lewandowski and Haaland, what we've seen is the rise of these nines, these goal-scoring monsters. However, these goal-scoring monsters, while they score more than anybody else on the team, these two players come at the cost of the team scoring less than before. Pep's teams with a nine have become somewhat imbalanced in a goal-scoring sense. Pep's teams with number nines build up with the 10 other players in a less flexible way than what we saw them without the traditional nine. The fluidity of that movement is gone. And I suppose many could see that happening there at the weekend if you're able to see any, I suppose, of the Liverpool and Chelsea match, which I watched. Neither team started with a typical number nine. The front lines of both teams were fluid in their movement. And yet Liverpool's kind of changed when Darwin went down the middle, because he's different to the fluid movement of, you know, these inverted wingers, these inverted forwards who fluidly move across, can lead a line but drop wide, find the spaces. Like where Lewandowski, Haaland, Darwin, these type of players are a bit more leading the line, push beyond the defence. So these patterns of change don't always move and go according to plan. And if your changes don't go according to plan, that is absolutely fine. Because even at the highest level, these experiments don't often always work. And then sometimes for us as well with change, it's not through our own designs and our own ideas. But change can often be forced upon us when opportunities are limited. So think of what happens outside of a transfer window if you get struck with an injury crisis. Or, you know, if you're not able to replace a player who's left effectively. I suppose an issue I've seen at Bayern is at Dortmund is I now need to start planning ahead for these types of issues. One area I'm light is at centre back. Emre Can has been a blessing because he's filled in for the injured Sadi Özcan and Weston McKennie as a defensive midfielder at times. He's filled in for Nicolas Sula, who's been injured, who's my right-sided centre back, who can play as a wide centre back or a ball playing centre back. But when Chan drops there, we're the ball playing centre back. And we just then look to build on the left with the wide. He's rotated with Dominik Sternberger, a libero I brought in from Austria. Chan being a central midfielder, he can step forward easily. And having someone like Chan available to me has helped me adapt easily when faced with selection issues. Having Chan available to me has helped me change without too much disruption. So if there's one piece of advice I can give you from this whole thing is, try and find or train versatile players, because they can easily make your team better when you are faced with selection issues. Because retraining players to fit multiple positions and roles will only benefit you in the long run. The current system I'm playing does not involve wide players, yet Dortmund are blessed with some extremely effective wide players. So I've had to try and adapt these into my side. Julian Brandt and Gio Reyna are not wide players for me, but they are fantastic in that AM role behind the two strikers. I'm surprised at how well both of them adapted, considering I brought in Arda Güler, to be, you know, a primary option in there. Yet Goulart, I think, has only been limited to one start since arriving because Brandt and Reina have been so good. Again, two other fantastic examples of inverted wide forwards are Daniel Malin and Karim Adeyemi. Yet both have become an unlikely strike partnership for me. They're not the best strikers at the club, but I'm working on their individual training to be strikers. I'm working on them to be an advanced forward, a pressing forward. I'm looking at developing traits that can only maximise their effectiveness in the front line. Because my front line at the minute is Sebastian Allaire and Maxi Gomez. Because I want some strong, powerful forwards. When that doesn't work, Malin and Adeyemi come on. And through their movement, their aggression, their energy, it changes it the game for me. It changes the side for me. Now, just before I go, just like a few final little closing remarks on the topic of change. Change is inevitable. And it's important that we find new ways of pushing forward rather than reacting and trying to recover. Squad changes are unavoidable. So we need to see how and where we can change. If a change goes wrong, you need to then begin to think, right, how can I fix it? How can I revert the change? Do I experiment with something different? What you can suppose you really need to do is know where opportunities to devise a pragmatic solution need to be implemented or sped up. Know where you need to make changes. You know, if a position isn't working, a role isn't working, a player isn't working, how do you adapt and build and change? If you want real life examples of managers so as changing, remaking themselves, reinventing themselves, resurrecting themselves, whatever it is, watch Rafa Benitez at Celta Vigo. Watch Jose Mourinho at Roma. These guys are primary examples of how English football changed in the mid-noughties. Yet, both are now seen as stuck at that time, unable to adapt to the new era. So watch some this season and see, think to yourself, are both of these examples to follow? Are both of these examples to avoid? Now, just before I leave you, I just want to say an absolute massive thank you for taking the time to listen to the podcast. I hope there has been some, you know, point or note or something that has, you know, I suppose, twigged or clicked with you or given you food for thought, whatever it is. If you've liked the podcast, please share, like it, positive review, whatever it is. Help us grow as we begin to, you know, change and focus on, you know, Football Manager 24. As we begin getting our ideas together, all of us tactically, saves, whatever it is, we begin to get ideas together. I finally settled on mine. I'm very happy to have, you know, picked it out as early as I have. And fingers crossed, it works as well in my head as it will do in game. Or in game as it will in my head. But anyway, thanks so much for listening. I'll talk to you again later on in the week where I'm getting a little bit into the squad planner, the shortlist. You know, talking about, you know, when your transfer plans don't exactly go according to plan. But until then, I've been Gaffer Graymo. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you again real soon. Bye now.